So we do have some announcements that we will be making under item number 6. But we are going to start, I think, Don, can you roll us? Is that going to be okay, you guys?
Sure.
Great.
The meeting of November 6th will come to order. We've got a approval of minutes from last month.
Move it accepted.
Second.
Okay, we will go to public health, and Joe's not here.
Correct, he had sick kids. He did say that he will be bringing back information on the solid waste code update at the next meeting, so they are looking into hiring a consultant to begin that process of updating our code. So more to follow on that one.
You would be up next.
So County Environmental Services, I will be talking more at length about our Green Neighbors Recycling Day events. We have our Green Neighbors newsletter that's in your packet. And we've been busy with quite a few things. We wrapped up our last collection event in Battleground, and we also had a school summit this morning for our Washington Green Schools program. We had 21 schools participating with their green teams. We also were awarded from the Washington Green Schools a award for being the number one county in the state for certified green schools. So we are a leader in that regard. We've been out with our multifamily project and working very closely with the City of Vancouver, visiting our 20,000 multifamily units, getting all of those containerized areas cleaned up, signage, and everyone in this pilot project's getting a informational bag, which I think we've shared with you in the past. Our green business program is moving forward. We have a 3-session series. We've got 10 businesses signed up right now to go through that. New Traditions is going to be coming through. It's a big one. And that kicks off here in end of this month, November 20th. Let's see, lots more, but I will save some of that thunder for next time. So we'll pass that off to Rich.
I'll come over here so I can see you all. So for the city, a couple things. One, November's leaf month, so leaf coupons for goods starting early October, and they run through December 20th, I believe. So but November's our big month, so for the city and the county.
Can I ask you a question about that? Is it just leaves?
Just leaves.
So if somebody came with a truck and they had wood, it would not work?
No.
Okay.
It's only set up for leaves. Okay. We'll probably be checking with them at the end of the season to kind of see, because in some instances, I mean, it used to be that the sites for the H&H in the old days would take leaves and do all the composting on site. Now I think some of the sites may have switched over and they're just kind of putting it with yard debris, so it may end up it gets mixed together. Mm-hmm. If they're really doing that, that may be maybe an approach to kind of say leaves and other may be okay. But for now, the rule is just leaves. No, kind of leave the bag, not the bag, or Christmas trees or any of that. The other piece is the City of Vancouver rates for 2015. We can announce those now. They're the same as the rate for 2014. So with the CPI and fuel indexes having changed, rates for those customers that have garbage recycling and yard debris service would have gone up 44 cents a month for the basic service. And then, so we're going to kind of subsidize that with the fund balance, so there won't be any rate increases. Unless if you drive to the transfer station directly or if you're a Dropbox customer, there will be some increases based on the activity. But for the normal, typical residential commercial customers, there won't be a rate increase.
Thank you. We have no bill from ecology.
I just have one. We are going to be awarding a request for proposal two Tuesdays from now, because it's Veterans Day next Tuesday, and that is a $330,000 three contracts for graphic and marketing work for our department, so you may hear about that. And we're negotiating those contracts right now. So, heads up.
This for what?
This would be for doing graphic work over, it's over a 3-year period of time. And these are on-call contracts, so we have that upper limit to spend the money on, but we're not committed to spending that money. And if we're going to be doing a clean cart campaign, which we're going to be tagging and visiting and doing a holistic campaign around our 100,000 blue carts in the county. So we're going to have marketing needs on that one.
Green carts?
The blue carts.
Oh, the blue?
Yeah.
Or just the general?
The general residential, yeah. So if we're doing major outreach campaigns, again, pulling in these services as needed.
How did we, you said if we didn't spend it, it rolls over or does something. Yeah, anyway, how did we come out of the last contract?
This is the first time that we've done this.
Oh.
And it's 3 years plus 2-year extensions, so we have actually 5 years to spend that money. And again, that just given how much we've been in the news as of late, that could come up and you might be reading about that. So.
Didn't spend enough from the Comcast?
Yeah, it falls right in the shoes of the Comcast. Exactly.
Speaking of Comcast,
which is an on-call as well.
What did you ever get for a result of your surveys? How did you hear about this? This
that'll be in the presentation that I'll be giving on the green recycling. So that was a question you had. I appreciate that. We'll address that. It was... In case you're all waiting with bated breath, it was on the lower end of our how you heard about us. So. Thank you.
Alan, you have a report for us.
Yes.
Can you turn it?
Yes.
We can have the audio-visual background. Anyway, on September 11th, I joined seven folks from Waste Connections, and we had a couple of people that were from the environmental services were supposed to come, but there wasn't anybody there. So anyway, the eight of us rode in a nice 15-passenger van, and we the first place we went to is, this is on the currently, whoops, we're going
Sorry.
Back too fast. Get on the first one.
Sorry about that.
First one. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's
there,
that
one. There we go. That could be the first one. Anyway, we drove to the Dalles, and the Dalles is the location of a corporation called, a kind of a flimsy name for this operation, but it's called Dirt Hugger. And those folks take wet and are wet. Edible or non-edible garbage, and a lot of it is from fruit factories, canning processes, and that. And they each Monday they get one of our bar trucks from Waste Connections, and dumps a load of food waste, and they're very pleased with it. And the wood chips are then in brush or covered over it, and they cover the load and irrigate it properly. And you go to the next one where he's, okay, this is where you can just see it laid out there in windrows. And every 3 days it's turned, and of course there's a chemical, biological breakdown of the material, and it ends up, of course, as compost. Go ahead for the, so we can see. You can see me, and this is the one of the partners there. He's explaining the process there, and it turns out when he's through that this is a very desired product in the area because of the fruit farms and the agricultural business up the gorge. This is a sought after commodity, and he can't make it fast enough. And so I noticed last time we had this meeting that there was a talk about duplicating this effort in the Chulachi Prairie area, and I really don't think that's necessary, because with the new operation, and they're moving from, by now they've moved from this location to one on the other side of town, which is going to be twice as big, and they assured us that they can take all we can bring them, and they'd be happy to do it. So that Chulachi Prairie thing would be kind of a duplication, I think, in this arena. Anyway, the waste is rotated every 3 days, and then it's sent through a sifter. And the sifter throws, it's kind of funny, has a magnet where all the silverware is collected. And he had jars and jars of the silverware. And he says, at his house, he says, no two spoons match. Because the magnet picks it up. And a lot of spoons, a lot of silverware in this food waste, you know. And it doesn't separate out. And a matter of fact, as I was walking across, I saw, you know, there was a spoon on the ground there, sure enough. Demand is high. They can sell all that they can make. The new facility is going to enable a larger operation that's east of town, and it's better as far as wind dispersion, because the wind, of course, blows down, or let's say up the gorge, and it'll disperse it out of town. There's no complaints with our Waste Connections people. They spoke highly of the product by the time they get it. You know, there's no mention of paper cups or junk or anything in it. They were very pleased with it. And again, like I said they could take all they wanted. So go ahead to the next one. See, this is some more of the, you can see those are maraschino cherries. There's a plant there that takes the cherries and makes maraschino cherries out of them. I've heard if you ever wanted, saw them made, and they're kind of like hot dogs. If you've ever seen them made, you wouldn't want to ever have one. Okay, go ahead.
Same and thing with sausage, you mean?
Yes, yeah. And this is, you see, this is just about done. He's got his thermometer in there, and while he was discussing, cussing and discussing this, that thermometer went up way high. I was surprised how hot it was inside there. And that, of course, hurries the fermentation or the breakdown of the product. And then in the back there, you can see the very fine stuff, and that comes out. And like he says, they thought they would get a bagging machine and bag it so that you and I could buy it at Freddy's or something. But he says they come in there and take it out by the truckload. Okay, let's go to Finley Butte. Okay, this is Finley Butte. Now this is way up in Boardman. Now, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's 140, I think that was the figure I was given, 60-foot containers a week go up, and of course 160 containers come down a week by barge to the port of Boardman, where there's a licensed contracted trucking firm that hauls these up day after day after day. It's a continuous process. Vancouver's Waste Connections garbage is loaded into 60-foot containers on wheels, and some of them, and they make the trip each week to, on tidewater barges all the way up there and to the port. There's a truck company that has seven pry movers. Each truck makes 7 to 8 trips a day to the, from the port to here. I think it's about 12 miles each way, where they're elevated and then dumped into the prepared landfill. Now you can see that this has been grading, and they're building another, they call them cell. They put this rubberized material on the bottom, which is when it's finished, is actually airproof and, of course, leak-proof, so there's no seepage or anything that goes out of there. And they actually capture the methane gas, pipe it down to a about a half a mile to the road, and they have two or three huge generators there. And the steam that's made from that, and this methane gas is burned, the electricity is made, and then they have hot air. Instead of sending it out into the community, it's shipped across the road to a plant that dries your onions. Dried onions, all from there. You know, they harvest the onions in that area. It's all irrigated, and you could smell the onions, but you couldn't smell until you got right up to the top where the fresh garbage was. You couldn't smell anything really at Findlay Butte at all. Go ahead. This is the tip. You can see there that they have one of our containers on the lift. The truck is there, and they take the whole thing up and dump it right there, and then they have these huge Caterpillar bucket loaders, mash it down, move it wherever they want it. And this, go ahead to the next one. There you can see the dump. And this goes on, let's see, for the full 140, and about the time that that gets going down, there's another 140 coming up. Next one, please. Okay, this is a new cell that they're filling. We asked how long that cell would last, and he said that's about 3 years' worth. Now, this is a regional land facility that's owned by Waste Connections, and we are just maybe one of their largest customers, let's say, there. And what they actually do is they collect the waste from Pasco, the Tri-Cities, almost any place that they want, that, you know, that's nearby, because it's a regional one. And of course, they pay tip fees, and they have different contracts with them. But we're one of the bigger customers there. You can see the gas collectors. There's three of them sticking out there, and those will collect the gas and send it down to the central connection. And they actually have a large vacuum type system so that they, so it's brought out of the garbage. Go ahead. Okay, just another shot of the tip going up. Those are big machines. I think they had three of them there, and they were able to, you can see in the back on the left that they have those machines trying to smash everything down. They compress it as much as they can and then push it into the cell to keep. The landfill is huge, but only one-fourth the size of the one that's at Arlington. So if you think this is big, and it is, imagine the size of the one at Arlington. They said this is going to grow until it's 1,300 feet high, and if it isn't called Findlay Butte now, it certainly will be by the time we get up 1,300 feet. The landfill, like I said, is a regional one, accepts loads from other areas, Pasco and the Kennewick areas, too. The landfill's, like I said, owned by Waste Connections, and they were doing a good business. Can you believe this entire business is run by 12 people? It always has had 12 people, and it's run by 12 people. So it's very efficient, and it was very interesting to see how they did this. Questions?
Are those spikes on those wheels?
Yes. Yeah, they try to crush it down. And that those guys were just out there doing that all the time. And there were some at the gate. There's a recycle area there, so that if people brought out their refrigerators or their washing machines or whatever, all they could drop them off. And I think there's a small tip fee there, but they do try to collect and recycle some of that material. Of course, ours has already been gone through, but you know, the people that bring out their own stuff, you know, they try to capture some of it, but it didn't look like they did much. Another thing I noticed that who's the tire guy? Les Schwab. He has a setup up there. They tear up all the tires, and the machine they cannot bury a whole tire because of the way the gas or something works. So they have to. They don't shred it. They just make it into big chunks. This machine does, and then it's put in the landfill. But it's too bad they can't recycle it. But it's just a, you know, Les Schwab has a huge business, and they Les Schwab had those huge, great, big, you know, 40 foot trucks just coming and going there all the time with tearing up the tires.
So wasn't there a program at one time to chop up tires and use them in along roads?
Yes, it works very well. And you know, I'm on Snowbird in Arizona, they're adding the rubber to the asphalt. You have to be very careful. Evidently, there's a problem. They did it in Elaco, and it flamed itself, spontaneous combustion.
Yeah.
And so you got to watch the mix and do a few things. I've shared with you folks before, my roof on my house on 164th and 29th Avenue is 750 of these tires. I think the only rubber roof in Vancouver, and it was imported from Calgary, Alberta. And you could get it in any color you want. And it's a 50-year guaranteed 50-year roof. They had to use stainless steel because regular nails wouldn't work on that. So there is ways to do this, but we haven't got there yet.
They also take the tires to the cement plants.
Use them for fuel.
They cook the cement. There's something about the rubber that will fit.
They burn it and kill it.
Yeah, they burn it and it gets in the cement somehow. But most all your cement plants have Les Schwab or tire factory trailers sitting there loaded with scrap tires.
I think we are one of the few states that we don't outlaw tires in landfills. Isn't that true?
I think they have to be chopped up.
Yes, they are chopped up.
Right.
They won't accept it if it's not chopped up, because we asked that question, and there's something about they hold the gas,
yeah,
or they don't, you know, they don't stack nicely or whatever, and once they're chopped up, there's no problem because they're sure doing it there.
But I think in Washington, I could be wrong, Scott, do you know? Can they take tires from Washington's landfills?
No, they got to
be cut out.
They have to be cut out. The issue is that if they're not, if they're just a whole tire, they'll actually work themselves up.
There we go. Thank you. And I enjoyed the trip very much. And share that when you go back.
It's a worthwhile trip if you've never been to a landfill. Any landfill with that one is extremely well run.
Thank you so much.
It was fun.
I think you're up
next. Pete, you're up. Okay. I wanted to discuss where we are at with our plan. Everyone should have. We might need to get one for Jack. We have our revised plan, and this is our preliminary draft. We've been working on this for some time, and The hope here is we can get a motion and a recommendation from SWAC to approve this for public comment, and then we would go out for 30 days. We would leave copies at libraries. We would send them around to our cities and also all of you, of the SWAC members. And then we would incorporate those comments back into the draft, and then that would go to Department of Ecology for their review and their comment after that 30-day period of time.
Is there not going to be another comment on a final draft after this? Because you say you're going to get a lot of inputs, and I think we're still going to make them, aren't we, Rich?
Yeah, I think the city of Vancouver's plan would be to do some comments during that 30-day period.
Yeah. And so I just wanted, after those recommendations, if they're accepted, put in there, then we should have another review period with public comments, shouldn't we?
Well, at some point you have to wrap up the public comments, but if it's significant, you certainly could open it back up.
So how would we do that procedurally? Would we do that here at this committee level?
Working with our ecology officer, we certainly could open it up, and we've done that in the past, but we've had very limited turnout. And they recommend in the digital age, since all of this is available now on our website, that we issue a press release, contact our main cities, public health, SWAC members, and stakeholders with that press release. And then we also have on our website a comment form, very easy to fill out. And just to go
like and so those comments are received, though, I think, before they go to ecology. Is that correct?
All the comments have to be received, incorporated back in this, because once it goes to ecology, only they can make comments.
Now, after the comments are made, are we going to get another crack at it, or does that just stay within your shop?
Well, procedurally, we certainly can document how the comments come in. At some point, we want to wrap up.
I understand that.
Are you asking if you can see like all of the comments that the other communities are making as well?
Well, some type of a review process. If there's going to be a significant change in here, this is what we're approving. You're asking us to approve it now. And if there's significant changes made after that, then I think if we're in the procedure of looking at it, then we should get another look at it.
Yes, and I think what we would do is, if we run with this, if we can make this motion, start our press release, begin the 30-day process, all those comments would come back, and at the December meeting, we would have all those compiled in the plan, but also compiled in a very easy-to-understand way for you to look at what's come in and what's gone in the plan.
And then you find
SWAC makes the final recommendation to send it to ecology.
Yeah, one last peek.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll move that we accept the plan as written and put it out for the public view.
Second. Did you second it?
No.
Okay. Alan made it first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll second it.
Okay. March.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
So to clarify, we will begin the public comment. We'll compile those back for SWAC to look. If we're ready to incorporate those as is, we will send along to ecology after the next December SWAC meeting.
We get the comments before the SWAC meeting?
Yes, we will send that as they come in. Now, there may be some that trickle in at the last minute, which we'll present at the meeting.
So the comment period is going to be when? The
comment period is 30 days, so we'll basically run from tomorrow through the next SWAC meeting, and then we will have time to review those comments, incorporate them, send it to ecology. Ecology has 120 days, but they assured me it's going to be quite a bit sooner turnaround because they've been tracking our process. But Utility Transportation Commission is 45 days to look at within that time period, so they might take the full 45. So 45 would be probably our best case scenario. And then
will they look at it after comments? or simultaneous?
They look at it after the comments have been incorporated.
Final draft.
Final draft. They'll come back with some minor comments. We'll make those, and then they have one more review. I think it's 45-day. But
in February, March, something?
We're thinking February, March, and then we run it through all the councils for adoption. So we're thinking April is when it will fully be adopted by the board and all the city councils.
And that's when the final.
Yes.
And does that start the 5 years then, too?
The five-year process to rejoin.
It would start the five-year process, yeah. Yes. And again, there's been a lot of hard work put into this, and I think it's important to pass those cues along. I haven't been involved in all the process, but I know reading through Chapter 5, the public education, that really was reworked, and I think there's some beneficial outcomes there. We have a new chapter, one of the first that's gone forward in the state. Chapter 18 on economics, and I know a lot of work was done with special waste and looking at how we deal with carcasses and some more of the Gary Bickett type exciting moments. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately I don't have a slideshow to show you of all the wonderful moments we've been through and you've been through, and I get
just
to inherit.
As an aside, have you looked at other counties? And
we have.
This is,
and
how does ours stack up, you think?
Again, I think, and Lisa, I'd be curious to hear your feelings, honestly, but I think in terms of how we stack up from ecology standpoint, they think from our system-wide management, we have a very good product.
We're now outstanding, I'll just say that.
And model, and a lot of work's gone in there now. In terms of actually getting recommendations and a planning document that our division can move forward with and start checking boxes, I still think we have improvements that we can do. Doesn't necessarily mean it can't be done under the guidelines we have here. Does that sound reasonable? Now, the important piece of this plan is our ecology grant, which we get, it's a two-year cycle, and it's about $1.2 million. We need to have the language in our grant, in our plan, to apply for those grant funds. So that's a piece that I'll be making sure, and we might come back with some comments on that one just to cover ourselves. There could be some loose language. And
we're in 1 year of the biennial.
It ends June 30th. Of 2015, so some of the work that we'll be doing as this committee moving forward is, and we're working with the city now, we're starting to brainstorm how we're going to apply for those dollars, and they need to be applied, we need to apply by March of 2015. And so having this plan adopted is perfect timing, because it will be used for our 2015-17 grant cycle.
Okay, so what was the grant amount?
The grant amount is approximately $1.2 million.
For what duration?
It's a two-year period. It would run from July 1st of 2015 through June 30th of 2017.
And what would the funds be used for?
The funds, the guideline, there's about 8 pages of guidelines that Ecology puts out on how those funds could be used. You could do anything from buying land to site a compost facility, do all the planning, buy all the equipment, pay for the staff. If it's a publicly run operation, you can do that for a hazardous waste operation. You could do that for a recycling operation, down to education and outreach.
So pretty much anything that's in.
Anything that's in the plan, anything that's really hazardous waste, recycling based.
You guys got this grant before?
And it's a grant that it's $28 million that the state appropriates through a tax on oil, petroleum products. And so it's a pass-through grant that comes through based on population. So it goes to every county. And it's primarily been used to run hazardous waste collection and management statewide.
So this is really just our share that we're asking for?
Correct.
So while we call it a grant, it's really, like you say, our share of the
$28
million.
And the legislators at some point could
I'll speak to it for a moment if it's okay. We made a recommendation, whether you remember or not. We did approve with Anita what those recommendations. In fact, I believe we added two categories, if I'm remembering correctly. And so I actually went to the commissioners' meeting in case there was any questions. They did approve because it took their action to approve it before it went on to the state for the approval process. But we did have a strong, and we always do have a strong hand in this body here. And so it's really important when that comes back through that it is this body that recommends that to the commissioners, and then they have to sign off on it in order to approve it. And so we added some things to it. If I remember right, it was actually one of the things was collection events. And Stephen, you might be interested in this because I think it was North County. We added that there were some communities, because typically in the city we recognize the neighborhood associations for their collection events, and we expanded that applicable. That was one of the items, and I'm not sure that I remember the other one. But so it's very serious that you pay attention to that process.
And that we will be bringing that for a major recommendation from SWAC, because how we expend those dollars, and again, when we did our budget presentation, when you pull out staff benefits, just when you're left with program budget dollars, our grant is a large component of how we spend and fund our programs and the direction. So once those are in and they're approved, we have to accomplish them to get the money back. So it's one of the areas I think this SWAC will have the greatest influence moving forward. And it's good timing.
Now, if we don't use every nickel of that $1.2 million, does that roll over or do they take it back?
It does. We do spend our share every cycle and have. The dollars that are not spent, because there's a match, so counties have to come up with a 25% share, and there are some counties that have a harder time doing that, and that money goes back into they call it the offset grant, so when those dollars are not expended, then it becomes competitive. And we just recently got a $60,000 grant through that process to run recovery of household reusable items at our central transfer station. So we're kicking that off in January and need to spend that by the end of June. So we actually...
That's going to pay for those Vista people or whatever?
It will pay for folks to pull that material, and we're currently working with retails, mm-hmm. the Paws and Claws Humane Society as the recipient of that. So again, we're actually getting additional money, but then you have to compete for it.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's exciting. Thank you, everyone, for all your work. We will look forward to entertain all your great comments as they come in. And ready to move?
Ready to move forward to recommendations.
Okay, Lisa was alluding to our Green Neighbors Recycling Day events. And in 2014, we had 9 events. And again, I'll go through a PowerPoint presentation, which will give us a better idea. And this does tie into some of the grant dollars that we do expend. And how this starts out, a lot of the small cities have been doing citywide cleanups for trash and bulky items, and Waste Connections in some of their contracts provides these services. In other cases, they have worked out arrangements with cities to provide these services. So they're out in Yakult, Richfield, La Center, and we have come in as kind of a vital component when folks are coming through with their trash. We also want to make sure that the hazardous waste is properly maintained. So we've been running these collection events for a number of years. And in this past year, 2014, we expanded that to include other products or other materials that could be brought in. And that was all spent for through our grant, this coordinated prevention grant, CPG, through the Department of Ecology. These events are great. Folks like them. Gives them a target date to clean shop. We, in this past year, we saw additional items brought in and more participation. We also incurred more costs, which we'll talk about. And it matched with these city cleanup days, as I mentioned. Some of the best turnout was in areas without the local transfer station. We included food donation this year. We actually got recognized from the food bank. We raised over 1,000 pounds of food. That was something that we added on just for our final events, but we figure folks are bringing this stuff. They're getting a pretty good deal, so we can get some community give back. And I think there's more opportunity around these events possibly to make it more of a community engagement and really leverage what we do out in the community, which I think could be a great benefit. We branded these with our regional Green Neighbors program. We found through our web hits that a lot of folks were searching hazardous cleanup, Green Neighbors. It was a lot easier to find. The previous name for these in 2013, I believe, was Hazardous Waste Mobile Collection Events. So we went to Green Neighbors Recycling Days, and we added some additional communications and new media, and we found that that really was starting to make a difference. So the messaging and branding. Again, this is a pretty big effort that our staff works on and just out in the community, and then actually managing a product that's pretty serious, the hazardous waste. So I mentioned the poster. We did a lot of these. Some other areas that we could do better, possibly needing more staff in the household hazardous waste area to speed folks along. I think we had some bottlenecking delays. Tracking where people are coming from. Better information about where items can be dropped off anytime. One of the things we find over and over is folks do not know that they can bring their hazardous waste for free on the weekends to the transfer stations. And so they save it all up and they come here. We as the county, through our grant dollars, has to pay for that disposal, whereas if they drove it on the weekend to one of the transfer stations, Waste Connections would graciously pick up the cost on that, which would free up our dollars for other works. So again, that's a balance that we need to look into, possibly. The yard debris, we added that, and we found that that was pretty time-consuming, so one of the staff recommendations is to pull that in our laundry list of items, and we'll talk more about that. Costs. Is this really a sustainable program? There's value just in doing an event that does collect this, but when you look at our studies of waste going in the transfer station, there are thousands of tons of hazardous waste still being disposed incorrectly in the trash, and then untold amounts sitting in basements and other places, which hopefully will be managed or just orphaned waste in people's basements for many years. And then we included the food banks. Okay, so really what we're talking about here are more options for disposal and offering to residents similar programs that the City of Vancouver offers. The City of Vancouver has been very active in their neighborhood cleanups and have offered yard debris collection. I'm not sure all else, but this was expanding it out in the county a little bit. You can see through our programs, in 2013, we did not do these events at Hazeldale Battleground. That's why those dropped out. But in terms of participation, we basically doubled and in some cases tripled our participants at these sites. So adding these new materials, doing the new communications, having the new branding, or or possibly just the coincidence of doing it 2014, but there was certainly impact, and folks were showing up in much larger numbers.
So what's the numbers on the website represent?
Those are hundreds of people that have shown up.
Okay.
So Washougal went from 100 to over 200. This is just some of the additional collection that we did on the food bank. And these are the total pounds of all materials collected at the location in 2014. So we are having an impact, just tonnage-wise, properly disposing of this material. Okay, here's the long-awaited slide on how folks heard about it. We did not have the opportunity to pull everyone. Often there were crowds. We needed to speed people along, but this does represent quite a few numbers. You can see that on the Columbian, 350 folks heard about it that way. Other, which we did have a category for, more of the flyer work, social media. The big ones, event sponsor would be inserts in if it's Yakult, or a better example would be Richfield or the Center. When they're doing their town cleanup, they actually will give people in their city limits a coupon to come in. So that's obviously a great way to learn about these things. And then Comcast is coming in pretty low on that one. And again, hard to know because people hear about things in different ways. There's the party line there. So we did track our website users and page views, and these are done. You can see where they link up when we're doing our events. We do have quite a few more visitations and users. Those are in thousands. Dark blue are the page views, and the light blue are the users. What is exciting about all the materials that we collected, which included hazardous waste, but also tires and yard debris and metal, and is that for the most part, it is all getting recycled, composted, reused, put to a higher end use. Very little is getting landfilled.
So well, that landfill could be just what it's containing, what's containing the junk or whatever anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you do these events, you're always going to get some
plastic bags, you can't do much with it.
But you'd hate to call it a recycling day and have that be a large number. So all transfer station results, household hazardous waste participation, this was a slide that was added in by staff, and I'm not quite sure what's going on in this one. I believe these are visits to drop off hazardous waste at our transfer stations, comparing 13 to 14. So I think the point here is there wasn't necessarily a big jump. That was pretty steady, but in our events, we did have a doubling, in some case significant. Significantly more than that. And then by weight, I guess kind of a similar story. Pretty steady on that hazardous waste coming into our transfer stations. So some of the new materials we brought in, we allowed folks to bring in Freon-containing materials, which would be air conditioners, freezers, scrap metal. We had paper shredding available, tires, and then the yard debris, which again didn't work as well as we thought it would. Some of the old items that we included were block foam, the e-waste, where we partner with Empower Up, and then our hazardous waste, which is collected on contract with Philip Environmental Service. We collected 17,800 pounds of the Freon-containing units, and we partnered with Clark Public Utilities on the refrigerators, and so we worked with them. They've got a program to keep those out of the system. Over 40,000 pounds of scrap metal, 27,000 pounds of shredding, 41,000 pounds of tires, and 75,000 pounds of yard debris. So the issue more on the yard debris is just when you're trying to speed these folks along, we didn't really have a good collection system. People had to kind of haul it out of their trucks. It's kind of hard to pull that stuff out. We were putting it into the yard debris hopper of the trucks. And really, from the standpoint of yard debris, there are very easy opportunities to get rid of that material. So it's not a harder one. And the costs are not prohibitive. So block foam, which you can imagine is very light. We had a 300% increase from 700 pounds in 2013 to 2,900 pounds, which is a lot of foam. And then, and again, we did a lot of events. So if you look at all the events that went on in 2013, we had 16 events, and we actually scaled down. But we still had over 100% increase just on the sites we did. So that first one is comparing apples to apples. And the other one is still an increase with fewer sites. So again, to understand what's going on here is in 2013, we had 16 sites where we provided hazardous waste, e-waste, and foam. And then in 2014, we did 9 events. Unfortunately, we didn't have battlegrounds information, the last one. So that's where that 8 number comes in. So on the e-waste, we did 23,000 pounds, and we went up to 55,000 pounds. So over 100% increase there. And then when you compare everything that was brought in 13 to our 8, actually, it looks like we included the 9th site. It was still almost 100%. Same story on hazardous waste. 42,000 pounds in 2013 and 115,000 pounds in 2014. So a huge increase on that material. And it doesn't come without costs. So if you look at the same sites for that happened in 2013 compared to 2014, we collected more hazardous waste, so we had more additional costs. And if you include our last 2 events for the total 9 events that we held, that disposal cost on hazardous waste was roughly $100,000. And again, it's all grant covered, and that's a very grant eligible program and very easy to get reimbursed by. So actually that was, yes, all waste. And this adds, let's see here. Okay, so that's all the sites in 16, in 2013, which was 16 of them. And then this adds battleground. Again, we still spent more, and we did fewer sites because we collected so much. Okay, so we wanted to just look at really where we were, SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. The strengths, where we accepted more materials, we gave our customers more options, and we also did much more outreach through our media to promote what we were doing. Only 2% of material to landfill, as I mentioned. 59%, more than half of the 195 tons was recycled. The rest was reused or put to a recovery. We got 3,000 pounds of food donated. We outreached to nearly 3,000 residents. And we continue to offer this important service to our city partners. And it is a valued way that we get out into the community. Some of the weakness would be if we continue this program and possibly continue our marketing efforts and we double again, at some point we may hit that point of no return being able to fund it. We reached 3% of the households. Is that a worthy goal? Which is still a lot, but you know, should we be shooting for 10% of households, which would be a significant outreach effort. Are we reaching all the demographics? There were some traffic and long waits that were folks had to experience out there. Some opportunities. We continue to build relationships with the cities and residents. This is a real opportunity to do more outreach. There could be other groups and partner efforts if we wanted to get more volunteers involved, because we have some staffing issues, working on weekends and paying overtime. That's an opportunity. We talked about taking plastic bags, since that's really one of our big campaigns moving forward with our blue carts. Plastic bags aren't allowed in there. They get in and mess up the sorting system. So this could be a really good opportunity and a way to promote that message as well. And possibly hold the transfer station, and then we can just give you all that waste.
Pete, when you were talking about the number of households there, how do you account for single-family dwellings as to multiple?
We were saying that a participant was a household, single family. Again, most of the multifamilies aren't gathering up that kind of accumulation to bring in. Again, that's a question that we could ask too, from a demographic standpoint, where the waste is coming from. So we didn't get that information. Neighborhood associations are a great way to get this information out. Being really early in the process, I live in Harding Heights. I just got my newsletter, and it's talking about the collection events that happened in October. So there's opportunities there for sure. And then again, local connections. I think folks, this is a winning program. Folks do want to be involved. How do we get more sponsorship, partnership? Again, kind of the new direction we're heading in. How do we do more with less and continue to shrink government, but provide the services we need?
Pete, I'd like to mention the fact that, I don't know if you knew, but our lady in charge of our neighborhood association said Susan Daly had a brain aneurysm, and they rushed her in for surgery, and surgery was a success, and she had a headache, and when she went in for that, they discovered the aneurysm, and they operated on her almost immediately, and she's made pretty much of a full recovery now. She's back working part-time.
So wow.
We're glad that she went in to have her
She's
headache
done it for
check.
A long time, yeah. Hasn't she?
Yeah. Well, not that I know of. This was just a sudden bam, and there it was the next day. She was in on the operating table.
Wow.
Successful operation. She held the position, though, for quite a
while. Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought she was an icon.
So anyway, she's back at work now, so she can be contacted there. Yeah. To include our neighborhood association in the plans here.
Yeah, I think the neighborhood associations are a huge ally.
But you have to do that. See, I'm in a neighborhood that's not like that, so I sneak next door to participate in there. So they're very friendly over there.
Okay, threats. I think I talked about reduced budgets, staffing. Once we offer to take all the materials, sometimes it's hard to turn off the faucet. Limitations with some site space. Some of the issues that we thought we could work with our contractor, Phillips Environmental Services, is have them really work more on the traffic control, setting up the event logistics so that we don't necessarily have to be there from a staffing standpoint. They know how to run these events. And or work with the cities that are sponsoring these events and put some of the onus on them to do our traffic control and flow. I think we have... So a couple recommendations that came up were to possibly eliminate two of the events. One was at Clark College. We do have a number of City of Vancouver cleanup events. We also have the transfer station very close by. There were some traffic issues in the Hazeldale site at the 99th Street transfer station, so possibly either finding a new site for Hazeldale or condensing that one. And other than that, I think the main recommendations were to move forward with continuing the outreach to our cities, for sure, and removing the yard debris from the program. But to write this one up as one of our key grant tasks eligible.
The whole target of this to begin with, wasn't it to get the household hazardous waste out of the landfill and go in other directions?
Yes. The intent was to create more of a time commitment so folks could clean and get that stuff moved out, even though they can take it any weekend to the transfer station. It seemed like in these more rural or remote areas of the county, giving them that opportunity. So that's how we initially started running these programs. Again, there we have in our county a great system to manage hazardous waste, and those costs are actually incurred by our contractor. We are looking at expanding days of operation to collect hazardous waste at the transfer stations, and that's some discussions that we're having. So,
is there a charge to dispose of that household?
There's no charge for households
at the transfer
station. There is a charge if you're a business and you actually have to go to Washougal.
That's only on specific days.
And that's on specific days. But for a household, there's no charge.
Pete, one of the things that I wonder about is, and I brought this up before, but the collection of water-based paint in the household hazardous waste collections.
Yes.
If I remember right, I think you said that that was going to the vendor that handled the waste pickup. That, because I've got a lot of experience with that, is a real simple thing to take care of. Give you an example. When I was in Phoenix, Arizona, we took the household hazardous waste latex paint, water-based paint, segregated into white, light, and dark segments. So whatever the paint came in, if it was a latex paint, it would go white, light color, or dark color. It was real interesting because the white always came out white, the light always came out light tan, the dark always came out chocolate brown. I mean, I don't care what you put in, pink, green, or whatever, and that's always the way it worked out. And I'm not an artist, so I don't know what that means. But the thing of it was, we did a little bit of mixing and blending with that paint and segregated it with window screen to get out, you know, the curds and the skin and stuff like that. And we wound up with a paint that was used to cover graffiti. On bridges, and it was free. And we turned it over to the city, and all the overpass bridges that they were just painting up with a vengeance, you know, we could go out there and use our tan paint, which blended in beautifully with what they put on when the bridge was new, the overpass. And so that was a huge saving, because you didn't have to pay the vendor a penny, and there's value in it. You don't have to go buy paint somewhere in the marketplace. And it's a real easy thing to analyze so that you're sure there's no bad actors in there. I mean, that's simple. And so at first they said, oh, we can't do that because we don't know what toxics are in there. Well, it's simple to analyze that. That's not a big deal. So, you know, we may want to think about doing that to a larger degree.
Are we not doing that now?
Well, the vendor is taking the latex paint, and that is being recycled. I believe it's in Illinois. It is going some distance.
That's about Vancouver, huh? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Simple.
Which one is the one in Portland?
That, I am not sure.
What's that costing?
And again, I could bring that information back to you.
Metro's got a huge facility on Swan Island that's for latex paint.
Yeah, I think it's because our paint is going through Phillip Environmental Service, and so I don't know if they have arrangements where that ends up. They're pretty.
The vendors love it. I mean, it's like a freebie. They make a lot of money on that.
Well, we used to always just in Indiana make it available back to people. Yeah. You know, it would all, and they could come and get free paint at any time. It was the same thing.
This is a matter of giving it to the city or the county so they don't have to go out and buy paint.
Well, right, yeah, but yeah. People did like it, especially if they were painting barns or something.
And then the other thing we used it for was to paint Section 8 housing. A lot, really, I mean.
Right, yes.
I'm going to look into just the costs, you know, how we, where we recycle it and the costs, and if there's a better,
real simple
better,
to do.
Better up. Well, and we'll add that as an opportunity for sure. So I think what we're hoping for from SWAC, and again, you'll have an opportunity when we present our draft application and when we start drafting for our grant, but we would like to move forward with the Recycling Day events into 2015 with some, I'd say, minor changes, maybe removing one or two sites and removing probably one item, but to continue down the path that we've gone and continue the marketing of that program and tracking how we do it. So if there's a motion, I guess we really don't need a motion because you'll have more of an opportunity to weigh in.
This is just project.
It's more of an informational piece. Okay. I do want to give kudos to Karen Underhill. She is currently a two-year contract employee. She's been with the county a little over 6 months now. She's been taking over some of the hazardous waste responsibilities from Jim Mansfield, who has done an incredible job setting up a lot of these programs. So we have the continuity. She's been trained, and she's run all of these events in the latter part of 2014. So we're in good hands moving forward. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Jim not around anymore?
Jim is around, and he's been working on a couple other projects, but he has announced a retirement in the near future. I'm not sure if it's 1 month or 3 months or 6 months. Or.
Be nice to him.
Recognitions.
Okay, well, this is going to be a little bit of group process, I'm hoping, but one of our members, two of our members here, this will be their last meeting, and is that correct?
Two of our members?
I believe two, possibly three.
Are you leaving, Stephen?
I don't hope not.
So that's why I was hoping some of this was going to be ad lib. So
that's a tough one to ad lib, I think.
That's a little presumptuous.
Well, where we're at.
Do you want me to be upset for you, Stephen?
Well, we talked.
I'm going to be.
Stephen and I talked this morning, so we're still working through the process.
I didn't get my letter in time.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, then you call for a recount of the dates.
So we are not recognizing Stephen tonight. But we
just
are
like every other meeting.
That was a blast, you didn't mean.
But we are recognizing Lisa, correct?
What do you mean correct? No, this told me to put on the program.
This is our last, your last meeting.
It is my last meeting on the advisory commission. And I've made the decision that I can be more effective in other ways. And so, you know, stay tuned. Oh, I know you're interested. What does she mean?
And we do have some parting gifts, which we will get to in just a little bit. But I wanted to touch base more.
I just want to warn you, that's what got the last solid waste district. I was assaulted.
It's not a $600 bag. And then Jack, who has been also an incredible contributor. And so really, I've just caught the tail end and really have appreciated getting to know you. And then Lisa, I will tell some stories.
Run for coffee tomorrow? Is that it? But, to start with our new adventure? You're in on this, Jack.
So Jack as well, we are giving him recognition as well. And I wanted to open it to the floor too, because I think it's important. You guys have worked so well together that we have an opportunity to share some words, both of you and then from the rest of the SWAC members. Can we do that? Just kind of a blur. Would you like to start?
Well, you know, I haven't been privy to any of this, you know, as far as what you want to talk about.
We want to wrap up and move forward, but we want to also have an opportunity to use this as a way to say goodbye. I mean, and to welcome your new role. And we're going to save the gifts.
And say thank you. Again.
And to say thank you. Exactly.
I'm very active all over the place, and this has always been very near and dear to my heart. Doesn't that sound silly? How can trash? It's like anybody who says trash is my bread and butter. You get it, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And so, this has really been a huge part of my life. You know, since you opened up the floor here, I will tell you the beginning starts of it all was when my oldest son, who is now 30, was. Oh, gosh, somewhere in the kindergarten age, and came home and said, you know, Mom, I hear about this new thing, recycling, and this was before really people did recycling. There was no such thing as putting it out of the curb. There was just, you know, absolutely. And so I marched right on up to my local mayor's office, which really technically wasn't my mayor, but I did anyway because he listened. And, you know, and things just kind of happened. Next thing I know, I'm driving down to Indianapolis, and then in Indiana Department of Environmental Management said, Lisa, we need you. And it was only because I was an avid speaker, but my motivator really always has been children. In fact, in my office today, I was looking at something, you know, that from time to time, you know, and I think I've shared with some of you that, you know, I've been captured in some moments because I always tend to be the big mouth out there, and which means that, you know, photographers just take your picture because you are, you know, you can relate to this being with the city. And so they capture you in these moments. And, you know, I'm very pleased to say that it has always been, you know, the children have always been a motivator. And it's very interesting to me that my youngest child will be graduating from high school this year. And, you know, he is still a motivator, but I think more so, you know, I think that's a good motivator for all of us to continue going forward. And whether we refer to children as our own or, you know, sometimes very fondly, and it makes me think of Jeannie, you know, if she would be here, she'd agree that, you know, we adopt people along the way, and whether it's jokingly that they should be treated like children or that, you know, we just have to look out for the children in our schools and our neighborhoods and bona fide children. I find this important work. I think that we all have to be aware that we can't do things in the same way that we have always done things. And as such, I know we were talking just before the meeting started and we were on record that I claim myself that I am one of the few people that I'm always very open-minded. You mentioned don't be disappointed, North County folks, but I'm very open-minded and accepting that we can't always do things in the same way we've done things, or else we can just expect the same results. And so having watched this and done things unbelievably for, I guess, almost 10 years, just under, you know, I have been doing the same thing every Thursday of the first Thursday of the month. And I think we can do things a little bit differently. And time is limited. I'm a little bit older than I was when I first started here. Yeah, don't even go there. I can only go there because I am speaking of myself. And so I want to try some different things. And I hope that you'll be supportive. I do plan on being in your audience. I do plan on being seen in some other ways. I'm not going to be as brave as our Jeannie was and, you know, go for the gusto and all these different roles she's tried on. But I hope that you'll continue to support that effort, and I will continue to support you. So don't lose contact.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll keep a chair for you.
I love that. I'll take you up on that.
It might be in the hallway, but...
And you know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Jack, that's going to be a tough act to follow.
Well, I think I can match it.
Okay, let's hear.
I want to just mention, first of all, I had a birthday celebration recently here. And somebody said, well, how old are you? I said, I'm mathematically dyslexic, so I'm 28. The fact is, I'm 82. It's time for me to step aside. Going back, when I first got on this committee, it was 1970 or 1984, I think it was. I served on it until 1988. I sold the business and went to Arizona. And so there was a period of time from 1988 until recently when I got back on it, which was, what, 07? And my wife and I were in Arizona. And then we're kids, so there's 15 or so years. But in amongst all the time that we did this, I've had some interesting experiences. Some of them kind of funny. I think back to the late 86, when I-5. Southbound lanes were shut down by the State Patrol because a strange white liquid was found on the highway. And, of course, they had at that time a hazardous waste emergency committee. So I was on that, too, in addition to the Solid Waste Advisory. And they called me. And so I said, well, do we know where it is? No, we're not sure. And the traffic was stopped on I-51 southbound. Come to find out, a milk truck sprung a leak and spilled white milk on the I-5 southbound up by Richfields. And once they found that out, I think the State Patrol may have been a little bit red-faced about it, but there have been a lot of experiences that I've had in hazardous waste, because when I built my plant in Washougal, we really built it to make phenolic resin, but the plywood business went upside down, and so we were able to convert it to hazardous waste, and we started recycling solvents in the days when solvents were big. And we had among our customers Tektronix and some of the really large industrial firms in the Northwest serving Washington, Oregon, Idaho. And in doing so, I gained some experience that I felt like could be applied to this commission. And that's why I was interested. And I think it's interesting to look around the table here and see who our members are. They're people that dearly love this community. And they're only here for one reason. They're not being paid for this, but they're here to do what's right for the community. And that's so important. The other thing that I think is important is that we pay particular attention to the regulations that we write down and put in place. We don't want to make it so difficult that an entrepreneur can't start a business in the community. We want to make it difficult enough to qualify him as an expert in his field. We also want to make the penalties painful if he's careless. I believe in that, but you cannot bar an entrepreneur from starting a business here. I'm trying to avoid politics, but I want to say that I'm a glass half full guy. I think that it's really important to keep a positive view of events, believe in the future. And it's been a pleasure to serve on this committee. People around the table here are really faithful because they're doing this for free. They're not being paid. And that's critical. We need more people like that. So I will keep attention to what goes on here, but I'm going to go play my music. I like music, and I play in four bands, and so that's what I'm going to do. My wife's back there.
You mean we could have had entertainment and all these meetings and
well,
you
missed
share?
Out. It's the best kept secret in town, but my wife is a ranch girl. She grew up in Idaho on a ranch, and So she always wanted to know where I was going on these first Thursdays of every month. And I think now she found out I was telling her the truth. I was coming down to the room with these rascals. So
anyway, we need this guy before.
But I want to thank everybody for all their cooperation. You know, when I grew up, my dad said to me, says, don't ever try to do things all by yourself. Be a part of a team. And that's important. So I feel this is a good team, and it's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Jack, I'd like to say thanks for some of the conversations that we've had involving people that go back 30, 40, 50 years that we've known in common. I've been very comfortable with your conversations, with what you've had to contribute. And
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Sounds like we need to start a Hall of Fame program for
you. Mean our pictures aren't going to be out in the hallway?
So we'll actually, that's not a bad idea. I've seen it in the association, and I walked down through the Hall of Fame at the National Solid Waste Show, and some of the men that started me 40, 50 years ago are in there. Some of my friends are now going in there. It's those people contributed volunteer time, volunteer work on a national level. My friend Josie Rosori is in there. People that had a huge influence in this business and in the state. I'd like to pursue that idea.
Maybe more people would come to our meetings then if we had some sort of, you know, we've got this, what is it, the Under 40 Award in this community.
It's called a Rose Gallery.
Well, I know Jeannie, you mentioned Jeannie and Mike Carnahan. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Members and just recognizing it. And as you said, the years that we've put in and that you've put in, without pay.
Well, you think about it. We could all be references for one another for the number of years that we have all known.
Don't wait too long. I mean, I go to the store and I buy my bananas yellow. I don't get them green.
Now, what instrument do you play?
Trumpet and French horn. I was supposed to be a music major in college. I got a 4-year scholarship from Washington State. But seeing chemistry attracted me. Not for the marijuana either. But, you know.
Well, this could be the way that we can get our cake and food and drink finally free. So I've never
said. Wow. Jack outside entertaining and passing that.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think we're at that point where maybe we need to. Yeah.
Well, we have new members next month.
That is the plan. So what I've been told is there are interviews that will be scheduled this month.
Holy cow, we never had to interview. Did you have to interview?
No. Well, yeah, I did. Bert Beese was I met in his office with him. And was
who is that?
Bert Beese?
No. Yeah.
He was a county commissioner way back before you were born. Yeah.
You were probably back in Indiana.
Yeah.
Well, we have two very small parting gifts, and the first is to Jack. We didn't have your additional out years in here, but this is certificates awarded to Jack McClary, Solid Waste Advisory Commission, in recognition of your leadership and service October 2007 to November 2014, plus 4 years in the 1980s.
Thank you.
And wow.
We have a jade plant for you.
Awesome.
Our nice plants for you to hold on to. So, I don't know, should we get all the SWAC members together? Can we do that for a quick photo op?
Yeah.
Would that be great? Maybe we can go against this white wall over here. Let's come on over here, Jack, and we'll use this moment. And we'll just push aside these chairs. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Come on right in the center here.
Yeah. We'll
Let's all stand against this wall. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And we'll get you up here. Oops. I don't know if you've got a camera handy. You do? Wonderful.
You guys are going to have to squeeze in like you like each other.
We like each other.
What is our next position?
That's right. Hey, you know, you think about this. I don't get these other women in this community. They don't know what they're missing.
Bill, why don't you come on over on this side?
A rose between two thorns.
And actually, Jack, you should be holding this.
You should be holding
yours. That's right, yeah. Take some ownership there. You don't want to have all those hairs.
Sorry, man.
Who's got the best camera?
Oh, this is cool.
Let's have it. Face is short.
Ready? Be happy.
Say trumpeter.
Red horn.
Okay. Okay, now we're going to stay up there, everyone, and we'll just switch this out. And we have a certificate to Lisa in recognition of your leadership and service, June 2005 to November 2014. Thank you so much. And for you, we have a nice
program. You better act like you like me. Now, I acted like I like you.
Nice bromeliad.
Ooh.
Plants. And then we can open up for applause from our audience. Thank you so much.
It is a gorgeous plant.
That's really pretty.
Thank you both. It's been an honor, and I think we want this to be great, and your words are heartfelt and appropriate. So you leave a large legacy.
Any other business I would like to schedule down at least a discussion in the next meeting about the chair position? Anybody wants to volunteer?
Well, I can't live without saying that, you know, Don, you need to do this. And I hope everybody agrees. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I just really, I hope and want to encourage you, and I want everybody to encourage Don to do this.
Thank you. I've thought about it, and I'd look at it.
Okay.
And anything you need.
A couple of items. We were talking about marijuana. That since we now have marijuana grows in that, is there somebody in our ecology program and solid waste interest that's checking to make sure that there is waste, you know, generated by the growing of these plants? And I was wondering, is help sending Melissa out to check if the water is, you know, being recycled or whatever gets run?
Oh, I thought you were going to say what happens when it gets composted and the seeds get in there.
I know. You know, those things grow like weeds.
So your concerns on the wastewater?
Yeah, wastewater and you know, anything else she finds. Cause she does such a good job when she's out there.
Good.
And nothing will escape.
I don't know if we have any growers set up in this county at this time. There's some dispensaries.
There's one in. There's going to be one in Battleground.
I think there is one. There's one indoor grower.
Okay. Well, I'll follow up with Melissa on that.
And for you, I forgot her last name, but Danielle came over to our legacy green team and did an outstanding job leading us through we've always felt so bad that we couldn't get doctors with PhDs and MDs and nurses to put things in the right places. And she says, don't worry, you'll never get them to do it. So that made us feel so much better, you know, because we thought there was something wrong with us.
Yeah.
And we appreciate being a green organization and green business and all of that.
And Danielle Beauchesne.
Yeah. She did a great job. And then the other item, I don't know if you caught it, but I think it was KGW had a big feature on our little county park at Lakeshore and all the dumping that's going on there. And it was featured, I saw on the news, and backed up my DirecTV so I get it again. And there's a lady that goes out there to walk her dog, and she's been picking this stuff up forever. And the county goes the state, I think, goes out there once a week and can't keep up. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. So that might be something to focus on, too.
Lakeshore
Park or whatever it is, right there near the lake. I think it's
Columbia River Road.
I thought it was more west.
Well, it could be the west side of the lake, yeah. You know, but it's right there at the transfer point.
Yeah.
You know, if she could dump it right there.
Whatever, drive past it.
Yeah. So I just brought that up because it was featured on our local television. And then, of course, it was right here in our county. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Anything else from staff? Anything else from the commission? Anything from the audience?
I like our fish.
Fish. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.